Now, you can certainly do no maintenance to them, but you're not going to have the best looking or tasting fruit, in my opinion.
My favorite one would have to be the black gum.
How do I know you're going to say that?
I love it. And what's the one tree that sings and dances for you?
The amount of growth we had, I've said it before, it was like cheating.
Yeah, it was astronomical.
It was 15 gallon. It was fairly small at the time I did pay for it. Golly. I did get my employee discount.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway.
You won't be able to throw a cat through it. Good morning, Northwest Arkansas and all of our friends out in America. This is Rockwell Farms Garden Show, and my name is Mark.
I'm Josiah, and you're watching or listening to Two Nuts on a Tree. We appreciate you joining with us. This show is for all of those gardeners out there. We're like-minded people.
Yeah.
We love talking with you, problem solving, and hanging out. And so, hey, if you are new to the show, and you can find us on some of the places you can find us, obviously YouTube, you'll be able to see
what we look like.
Yeah, see what we look like. Don't be disappointed. But also see plant material that we talk about, materials that we talk about, like products that we use regularly. You can also find us if you're listening. You can find us on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon Music, Pandora. And then you can also find us on social media as far as like Instagram, X, Facebook. You can find us in those areas as well.
Man, we're everywhere.
We are everywhere.
Man, we went from being 19 years on a local radio show to this right here.
Yeah. You know what? I like this. Yeah. This is pretty nice. Yeah. So, awesome. Well, we got a pretty good show for you today.
What's it about? Does anybody know, Jessica, do you know what the show's about today?
Maybe I should have briefed you on
What's it.
Yeah, no. Hey, so today we're going to be talking about how to take care of newly planted trees or shrubs. What we're also going to be talking about is common problems that you might find on fruit trees, how to take care of your fruit trees, and also some fertilizers to get you going.
That's probably our biggest. We sell a lot of fruit trees here at Rockwell Farm.
Yes.
And that's one thing that people really like. I mean, we give them a sheet saying how to take care of your newly planted fruit trees for that reason.
Yeah, yeah, we do.
They're a little different, but you know what? If you know what to do, you're fine.
And if you don't, you can listen to our show and know what to do.
That's when people freak out when they don't know what to do. All right, I got some people that...
Hey, we're going to get into the comment section. If you don't know, on YouTube, you can comment down in the comment section. We do answer those questions or comments here on this show. You can also email us. You could go to rockwellfarms.com. Rockwell Farm? Yeah.
Right. Rockwellfarms.com.
Yeah. Rockwell. You could go there and you can find our email. You can email us there or message us there. Mm-hmm. That's a good way to get in contact. Just so you know, we answer those questions on the show, of course, but that helps other gardeners. It also helps us to come up with new content. If you like this content, it helps feed that.
Yep.
And so we know what's current and what other people need help with as well.
Because like Joseph says, I heard that there's a shortage of red buds this year, and he's right.
Yeah, there is.
I am so glad that we ordered our red buds like back in August of last year.
Definitely.
There is a shortage of red buds. Everybody's going to find that out throughout the whole country. It's crazy. You don't even think about getting the Oklahoma red bud. There's a big shortage on those.
Well, by grace, we were able to get in a pretty good variety of different red buds.
Yep.
Yeah.
We have different red buds that are available right now for those nurseries that ordered early. Mm-hmm. It would be the Forest Pansy, Rising Sun. Doesn't Rising Sun have yellow leaves?
Yeah, Rising Sun, that's one of my favorites because of the bright coloring and the foliage, but it only gets about 12, 15 foot tall
there
and
you
wide.
Go. Yeah. And then the Merlot, that has what, purple leaves?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, and it has red bud. Call it the red bud, but most of them have pink bloom.
Yeah, pink or lavender, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the Appalachian has the red bloom.
Yeah, it's more of a real red.
It's a real red.
That's one of my favorites right there is the Appalachian for sure.
Ruby Falls is the red bud that comes up and it cascades over.
Okay, that's also one of my favorites. I have a lot of favorites.
Yeah. You know how they do that? You know how it comes up and falls over?
Fill me in.
They inject a virus in it.
Really?
It's done by a virus.
Mm-hmm. Now I've learned something.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That one's a
beautiful one. It doesn't get very tall at all. 6 to 8 foot at very most, but usually around 6 foot tall and 6 foot wide. But it has these beautiful heart-shaped kind of purple foliage to it, that ruby falls. And then, of course, it has those beautiful blooms in the spring. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know redbud, the blooms are actually edible.
Is that right?
Yeah, they are.
Huh. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, people put them in salads or... Yeah,
really?
Definitely.
So you could put, like, pansy flowers also.
Yeah, you could do that.
And redbud bloom, because they're both doing their thing at the same time.
Yeah, pansy redbud salad.
I'll probably get that on my birthday. It's in March. And then the eastern redbud and new variety is the bubblegum.
The bubblegum, that's a pretty interesting one because it's more of that pinker color in the bloom, but it's a beautiful one. Even the bark looks a little bit different on that.
And then there's the Proven Winner Midnight Express.
Now, that one's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm excited about that. That's a new variety to us.
It is, yeah.
That and the bubblegum, I had no idea. I ordered the bubblegum just because I thought it was cool.
They look pretty neat back there. Yeah, right. worth taking a look at. So,
Joseph, if you're in our area, we got you covered on the redbuds. Also have one from Gary. He wants to know good varieties of blackberries and raspberries for this area.
Okay.
Now, he's in luck because over at the University of Arkansas, I remember that back in the early 90s, taking seeds and counting. We measured the sugar content and how big the seed was in each one of the blackberries. That's when they were developing the Arapaho, Navajo, Ouachita, and all those.
Yeah. Now we carry the Arapaho. That's a pretty good variety because the berries on it are big, nice, and sweet, and a small seed.
They have the highest content of sugar, the Arapaho.
Yes.
I think it's like 5 grams of sugar. And then on the raspberries, I just have one. That's the Heritage.
Yeah.
Heritage raspberry, you can't go wrong. That's the only one that I've ever grown. I have it in my garden. And I've been really satisfied because you get raspberries in the spring and in the fall.
I attest to that. They have so many raspberries. We're actually out there picking them when they're out of town. So, yeah, they do.
Yeah, I come in from out of town, they're all gone.
Uh-huh, they are.
I had a disease or something.
No, you just have us. So I've got one from Jessica. Jessica comments, planted seeds last year under grow lights. Lavender seeds never came up. What did I do wrong? Well, there could be a few things with that. That's a good question. Now, lavender does best when the soil temperature is about 75 degrees.
Just like peppers.
Yes. And so it is a warm weather plant. So it does best in dry and warm weather. Another thing that could be going wrong is if the plants do start to germinate and then they get too much water with lavender. Mm-hmm. Lavender is kind of a tricky one, or can be. But yeah, I would probably check your soil temperature on that one. If you have, they sell, there's these great warming pads that you can get if your house is a lot cooler that you can set your seed trays on. That will warm your soil temperature to get to the right temperature. But that's great for lavender, peppers, other warm weather plants that need that heat.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you want to get right into it on how to take care of your new pantry?
Let's get into it. Well, we actually have time to apply. Why don't we get into time to apply here first, huh?
Got do the jingle.
Time to apply. These are things you can be applying in your garden or your landscape right now. Preparing your beds. Right now is a great time to get your garden beds prepared or your planters ready. You can do that. Magnificent 7. Magnificent 7 is what we call our mix that we sell here. It's 7 different bags, which is why we get Magnificent 7. You have 5 bags of cotton burr compost, 1 compressed bale of sphagnum peat moss, and then you also have a big bag of coarse vermiculite. The 3 of those like square foot gardening. That's kind of the mix that we go by. It's really loamy. You don't get root rot with this, and it's also holds that nutrition really well. And drainage is awesome.
You can plant right in it. You can plant your seed right in it.
Great. It's great for sowing directly in. Also preparing those beds with getting Biotone from Epsoma. That's a great product to go ahead and get your garden started. It has mycorrhiza in there. It's one of their big ingredients. Mycorrhiza is a fungi. It has a symbiotic relationship with your plants, fuses to the roots, and helps gather nutrients and moisture for those plants. It's a great way to get started in your garden.
I call it inoculating the soil.
It is. Yeah, it sure is. And so you also have your Royal Gold. Right now would be a great time to go ahead and get your organic fertilizer started in those garden beds. That gives them a little bit of time to break down so you can plant directly in that. Works really great. But the Grow from Royal Gold, phenomenal product. You can either spread it across in your beds, or you can also do it while you are planting. You dig the hole, mix it in the hole, and backfill around your plant.
I like it because you use so little of it, like a tablespoon.
Absolutely. It does last quite a bit. Actually, I think one bag took care of our garden beds in the back for one season.
One entire season.
Yeah. So also Five Star Fescue. Five Star Fescue is a blend of five different seeds. We have the Sun Mix, and we also have the Shade Mix. The Shade Mix is great. It's got three seeds that germinate in the shade and two for sun. And then our Sun Mix is the opposite. You have three seeds that germinate in the sun, two for shade. So wherever you're throwing grass, you're going to get beautiful grass. It's also green 12 months out of the year. So you're going to have green grass all year long.
That's what I have in my lawn.
All right. That's time to apply. Also,
you can be Elvis Presley carpet.
Oh, yeah. Your new lawn starter fertilizer by Fertilome. Exceptional product to use.
Don't leave without it.
With starting your seed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How to take care of your new plant tree.
Let's get into it.
Okay.
Yep.
At Rockwell Farms, anytime that someone buys a tree from us, we always have this sheep. You know, Rush Limbaugh. Yeah, here in my nicotine-stained hands. Dirt-stained hands.
I'd be more that way.
But, yeah, it's titled How to Take Care of Your Newly Planted Tree. And the first thing we address is water it in. Now, watering in is extremely important when you buy a tree because what it does, and we're talking about drowning the tree, you do it one time. What it does is that it gets all the air out of that soil and gives you good root-to-soil contact. So watering in is the most important part of the process. And if you do that the first time, then your tree will have that good contact with the soil. If you don't do it, then you will have a very slow start.
Yeah, that's going to get rid of some of the air pockets around mm-hmm. there, and that's going to help tremendously, especially if we're still having cold temperature nights, because mm-hmm. that helps insulate that root.
Apply your root stimulator. After you've watered in, apply your root stimulator. I really like, I got right here, Fertilome's root stimulator. A lot of root stimulators do not have the hormone in it. The indolebutric acid, we call it IBA, it is the same hormone that the tree uses to produce its own roots. And so that indolebutric acid is extremely important and has a light fertilizer in it. I think it's like 410, 410-3, high phosphorus content, but low nitrogen and low potassium, and that's exactly what you want.
Yeah, it's going to focus on that root system, help you get established a lot quicker as well.
We use it on everything.
Yes.
Like transplants, when we transplant, we make sure we use that root stimulator because it's very soft on the plant, and the indolebutric acid, that hormone, really does get that. The root system is the most important part of the plant. You have a good root system, you have a good plant.
Now, when do I water? So we get that question a lot.
All the time.
On how often do I water my trees and my shrubs? And let me just start with, we're in Northwest Arkansas. So our soil, our dirt differences, they vary. So some places we can have pretty grainy, silty dirt. Some places we can have really hard red clay. Mm-hmm. And so it all just depends on really what you have in your yard. So it's almost impossible for us to give a water regimen. Some people want to know, is it three times a week? Is it once a week? Is it, when do I water, and a schedule for that? Well, it's hard for us to give that.
Well, after you water it in, mm-hmm. You have 100% saturation. So if you stick your finger in it and it's dry, if it's wet on top, you know it's wet on bottom.
Yeah.
That's a very good indication. And your tree will actually, your shrub will tell you when it needs water just by drooping.
Yeah.
Because root rot is not reversible. But when it's dry and doesn't have water, that is reversible.
Yes. So yeah.
That's a good indicator. Stick your finger in it and the tree will droop. It's okay for it to do that, and that will tell you that it needs water.
Yeah. If you have more clay in your dirt, mm-hmm. In the area that your trees are being planted, you want to also keep in mind that that's what we use to line ponds. And I say this quite a bit, but that's what we use to line ponds. And the reason we do that, it holds high water retention. Mm-hmm. So essentially when the hole is dug to put your tree in, if you have clay there, you're essentially you want to keep in mind that you've got basically a small pond there. Mm-hmm. So what we see actually the most number one killer of trees, in my opinion,
is overwatering.
Even more, your tree is better underwatered than it is overwatered, mm-hmm. for sure.
And then when you do water, make sure you water all the way through and just not trickle on the top.
Definitely.
Always water all the way through, because then the roots always look for the water. So when you water all the way through and you go past that root system, that's a good job of watering.
Yeah, just stick your finger in the dirt. Mm-hmm. That will tell you everything. And pay attention to your plants because they speak to you. They yep. sure do.
And put on guide wires. Come down three different angles from the lowest limb. I always tell people to tie it from the top of their head.
Yeah.
Okay? And so you'll come down at a 45-degree angle with rebar. Mm-hmm. And what we do, we use a non-girdling rope. We call it flat rope.
Yes, yeah.
And therefore, you tie it on the tree, leaving room, okay? You don't just cinch it up on there because you girdle the tree, okay?
Sure, yeah.
So you leave room for the tree to grow, and then you come down a 45-degree angle on rebar.
Yeah, so this is great. Staking and tying your trees. And, you know, we have people that often ask us, well, I've heard not to do it. I've heard to do it. Mm-hmm. We highly recommend staking and tying your trees. Mm-hmm. We're in Northwest Arkansas. We just had two tornadoes last year, mm-hmm. okay? And so a lot of tree damage and whatnot. We do recommend now, after a year, we recommend taking those off, checking on them about mm-hmm. 6 months. But after a year, taking those stake and ties off, those guide wires.
You want your tree to move.
Yes.
If your tree's not moving, you'll have a weak tree.
Definitely.
So every time that tree is moving, it's strengthening the girth of it.
Yeah, strengthening the girth of the trunk, mm-hmm. the branches, but also the root system with that movement. As your roots are establishing, it really does need some movement. So, mm-hmm. But we do recommend about 6 months to a year keeping those on.
Yeah, because if you go past a year, it'll snap right above where you tied it off.
Yeah, it'll definitely snap. Want to keep an eye on it for sure.
Okay, and the third thing would be fertilizer, what fertilizer to use. Throughout the season, we always recommend the Fertilom tree and shrub food. They call it all food. And
yeah.
I always catch myself from saying fertilizer.
Fertilizer. It's food. Good. Yeah. Food for your tree. You know what? Yeah, we were actually supposed to just order, what, 8 of those bags?
What difference does zero make?
Yeah, we got 80. Yeah.
Sale.
Yep, no kidding.
Yeah, we'll go through them, but yeah, it was kind of a surprise.
No, that tree and shrub food, though, that's really good for them. It's a slow-release mm-hmm. fertilizer, slow-release, so it's going to fertilize those over time, which mm-hmm. is great, so you can put some down and give it some time. So something, anything that makes your life easier, especially if you have multiple trees being planted, anything mm-hmm. that makes your life easier for that first year of establishment.
And when applying your tree and shrub food by Fertilom, make sure that you go from the drip line, which is outside canopy of the tree, in towards the trunk. And you want to spread it and not just dump it, because you'll burn the root system in that area. So you spread it from the canopy into the trunk, but don't go right to the trunk because you don't have any feeder roots there and you burn the tree.
Yeah.
Stay a couple of feet away from the trunk of the tree and go out towards the feeder roots. And with the Fertilom tree and shrub food, you only apply it twice a year, once in the spring and once early summer.
Yeah.
Okay, in the summer. Do not apply it late summer, especially if you're going on a heavier rate, because you want that tree to harden off, what we call harden off.
Definitely.
You do not want it growing, getting into the wintertime, because you'll have freezer burn.
Yeah, you don't want fresh new growth coming out right before we get into fall mm-hmm. and dormancy. That's for sure. That will help your tree a lot by giving it that time mm-hmm. to harden.
So
that's great.
The nice thing is you don't use a lot of it either. It only takes like a pound, which I think is 2 cups. All right, you'll have to go in the house and steal a cup from your wife. Don't let her know. That happens all the time. But like a 1-inch tree will only take a cup. All right. Yeah, one, which is a half pound. I think 2 cups makes a pound with that.
Okay, yeah.
Food.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's why you steal one out of the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Fertilome's tree and shrub food, after you've used your root stimulator for 6 weeks, you'll then use your tree and shrub food for the rest of the time of the tree.
Now, amending the soil, do you not? We recommend amending your soil. And what we recommend using is the cotton burr compost. Mm-hmm. And you can, if you're watching from and you're not local, you can find it at your local garden center. Just ask them, what should I be amending my soil with? Mm-hmm. They will be able to help you the best that they can. And so just ask your garden center, what should I be using? Here in Northwest Arkansas, we use the cotton burr compost. The reason we do is because we have so much clay and compaction.
It breaks it up.
And it will help, break it up, add aeration to your soil, mm-hmm. And also those great minerals and trace nutrients and whatnot that your tree needs.
And it naturally keeps you from having root rot.
Absolutely, yeah.
Just don't use more than 50%. 50% cotton burr compost and 50% existing soil.
Yeah.
It will burn. It's a good product.
Now, what cotton burr compost is, it's made from all the leftover cotton burrs and plants that are in the cotton fields, and they compost that. So it really helps add that oxygen that your soil needs. And another thing that I like it so much is, you know, the roots that come up and they surface, okay? Mm-hmm. Those are called breather roots. And so you want to make sure that you have, the reason they come up is because there's not aeration or oxygen in the dirt or the soil. Mm-hmm. And so we got a fly flying around here. This guy,
we need some of that fly away.
Yeah, no kidding. So anyway, those breather roots, they come up because they're not getting oxygen or air in the soil. So they come up for it and they'll surface for it. So you'll have them in the yard. By adding that cotton burr compost, that amendment that will help with some of that, that's going to eliminate quite a bit of that. Mm-hmm. So we do highly recommend it.
Okay. So that's how to take care of your newly planted tree. If you come on up here, we can give you a sheet.
Absolutely.
Nobody leaves without a sheet on how to take care of your newly planted tree.
Definitely.
Yep.
You can also comment. If you have further questions on this, please feel free to comment or send us a message, and we'd
I'll send
love
you
to
a
answer
sheet.
That.
Yeah. I can email the sheet.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That'd be cool.
We could.
So, fruit tree care.
Yes. So this is a big one.
Yes.
Yep.
We sell a ton of fruit trees here at Rockwell Farms.
We do.
A lot. And all of our trees are for our zone 6A.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very, very adamant about that. So what you need to do, let's start with fall. There's something called fall dormant oil. Dormant oil is really important. Not many people think about it. But what it does is that it does two things. It kills all the eggs of the larvae of the moth that's gone through, because moth is your number one venger. Mm-hmm. The moth lays its eggs there right on the bud, and it's always real bad. What dormant oil does is that it covers that egg and it suffocates it and keeps it from hatching mm-hmm. for that coming spring. Also, it'll keep you from having a lot of disease. Same thing with the fungi that sets down on that bud. The dormant oil will cover it, saturate it, and kill it just by not letting it breathe. So dormant oil is one of the big things that you need to use during the wintertime. It'll keep you from having a lot of insect problems and a lot of disease problems.
Especially the scale.
Yes.
Scale. It's a very, very common one. That is what we found to be the best thing to take care of that in the winter, because it kills all stages mm-hmm. of their growth, from egg to full adults.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you don't see it either.
Scale is hard. It blends in pretty darn good. In. Yeah.
And then let's start with horticultural oil is one that I use throughout the season. But dormant oil is really important early spring or late fall.
Yeah.
On your peaches, copper soap is your best friend when it comes to apples and peaches.
I would agree with that one.
Okay.
Yep.
There's a disease called peach leaf curl. And what happens is that when the peach tree starts to whirl out and bud, it gets kind of gnarly.
Yeah. I mean, the leaves literally look like they're bubbling up mm-hmm. and curling like that. Yeah, that's a pretty common one that we see. Mm-hmm. Probably the most common one, actually.
Right. Copper soap is your best friend on that. And you need to make sure that you apply it early spring. And then when the bud of the peach, we call it right before it whirls.
Yeah.
When it breaks that dormancy and it whirls out, you want to get the bud before it whirls and then get it after
the bud break.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you'll, if you do that, if you spray it three times, early spring, at bud stage, and then the whirl stage, you'll break the cycle of the peach leaf curl.
Yes. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's what it's all about, is breaking that cycle.
Now, that copper soap, it can be used for so many things as far as blight, peach leaf curl, because it's a bactericide and a fungicide.
Yes.
So
it's totally organic,
yes,
too.
And that's the most important part, because you're putting this into your body.
Mm-hmm.
You are putting it into your body. Whether you believe that or not, if you're putting it on your tree, you're eating that fruit, you're going to ingest some of that. This is organic, it's safe. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like with your apple trees always get fire. Well, fire don't always get it, but fire blight is your number one enemy when it comes to apple trees.
Definitely.
And that copper fungicide is a very good product, because it's totally organic, and you'll spray it right before it starts to bloom, and then during the bloom cycle, every 7 days, spray the blooms, because that's when the fire blight goes from one tree to another.
Through pollen, doesn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wind pollination, bee pollination, it just transfers from one tree to another. And fire blight is really hard to get rid of once you have it.
Yeah. Even with pruning. Now, when you do have it and you have to make cuts or cut it out, you want to be using that copper fungicide or copper soap. You want to be using that actively, but also be sure that you are, you can sanitize your clippers or pruners, and you can do that just simply by getting a 10% bleach solution, and just dipping your clippers or pruners or scissors in that, or spraying. We use a spray bottle here and there when
but you got to cut it low. If you have fire blight, you got to cut it low, meaning that is a disease. It's a stem disease, so it'll go down in the stem.
Definitely.
And so you have to cut it 6 to 8 inches below where you see the fire blight.
Yes. Yeah. And a fire blight, the ugly thing about it is it will take off overnight. It's one of those things that your branches will look fine, and then all of a sudden the next day, the whole stem is brown and just wilty, ugly. And so that is another common problem to watch out for.
So in the springtime, I recommend people just spray it once a week. Spray it literally once a week.
Yeah.
It's totally organic. It'll keep you from having fire blight, and it'll keep you from having that peach leaf curl.
Definitely.
Then, after you're done with that stage and you start to get fruit, when it starts the pea-sized fruit, that's when you want to use the fruit tree spray. I really like that. It's one of my favorite. That's one that we sell not only for fruit trees, but I sell it for vegetable gardens.
Yeah.
If I could, I'd change the name. I would change it from fruit, not just fruit tree spray, but also for garden vegetables.
Yeah.
Because it's 70% neem oil, and it's also pyrethrin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's totally organic and safe. And it totally, right. The neem oil is great, because when you do get fungi coming on, Cercospora or Septoria, you get different fungi that is on that fruit, and then it'll be spotted. Well, that neem oil saturates it just like that dormant oil would, and it keeps you from having that fungi problem.
Yeah, especially on your fruit, like your apples, or those dark spots on your apples. That will help eliminate a lot of that. Also, using this spinosad.
Yes.
Spinosad,
Have you ever noticed, when you have a peach and there's a worm inside, that worm got there because the moth laid its egg during the bloom cycle.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep, yep. So before your blooms, that's why it's a transition there. As your blooms close, you'll be spraying that fruit and tree spray to cover that egg so it doesn't germinate. That's why you have a little bug inside,
Yeah.
You wonder, how did it get in there?
Now, some people might think that this is a lot of work to have fruit trees. Well, fruit trees is a lot of work. You're growing food, okay? So just like any farmer out there, you're going to have some work to do to produce food. It's just part of the thing. Okay.
Yep.
And so, if you want to produce food, you can, you know, nothing is wrong with ugly apples. I'm okay with eating an ugly apple. Okay. Mm-hmm. But these are ways that you can get the best yield out of your fruit trees. Now, you can certainly do no maintenance to them, but you're not going to have the best looking or tasting fruit, in my opinion. By getting to get that best tasting or looking fruit, by following these steps, this will just help you get a far better yield out of your trees.
I remember years ago, nobody had any information on how to take care of your fruit trees. Mm-hmm. And this is probably about 10 years ago or something. So I sent what I thought into Fertilome's corporate headquarters. A guy named Tony put it all together. And now they have, you can go to the Fertilome website and look up fruit tree care.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see everything that Tony and I incorporated into how to take care of your newly planted fruit tree.
That's amazing. Now, I like Fertilome.
Step by step.
That's really a company and a brand that truly listens to their mm-hmm. people, their customers, yeah. And their staff. It's just an amazing company from the top to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Just really good people that actually care. So
your fruit tree spray is not, it has pyrethrin in, which is totally organic, and that'll keep you from having any insect problems. And the neem oil keeps you from having all kinds of other, I see it more as a preventative for fungi and insect than neem oil. But I also keep using my copper soap.
Yeah.
I will alternate those, or I will inject the copper soap in there throughout the entire growing season, because that will keep you from having fruit rot and other diseases later on.
Now, the thing with the copper soap, or any of these products that we're talking about for your fruit tree care, whether you want to get a pump sprayer to use mm-hmm. these, but they also come with like ready to use. If you have smaller ones, it's a little spray bottle. They also have some that just hook up to the hose. Those are my favorite because you don't have to measure anything. You hook it up to the hose and you just spray your tree.
That Fertilome has a dial spray. It's called Chameleon.
Yes. Yep.
And
they do.
You just take your product. Actually, you can take the top of the Chameleon. It does has a reservoir to where you can dump other product in it. But or you could take the top part of it, screw it right on the Fertilome product, the quart or the pint.
Yes.
They have an adapter for pints. And you can spray it right out of the bottle.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, those paint sprayers.
Right.
It looks like that, but just for your fungicides, mm-hmm. fertilizers.
You put it right on the concentrate jar and turn the dial to what you need to do and just go to town, screw it off, put the cap back on, done. No mess, no spill.
Definitely.
Now, you did mention spinosad. Spinosad's great. That is our number one worm killer.
Oh, yeah. And it's perfectly organic.
Yes.
So super safe for the family, everything. Now, it works great on fruit trees. Mm-hmm. But another one it actually works great on is, you know, your pecan mm-hmm. is more prone to getting webworms mm-hmm. or tent caterpillars.
Right.
And so that is such a great product for that. You go out and spray in the evening time when they're all contained and in the same area. It works super good at taking care of that on your pecans.
Spinosad is totally organic. That's why I like spinosad again.
Yeah.
And it is totally great on bagworms and webworms. Any
yes.
worm, it will get rid of.
Yeah.
I love spinosad. It's one that we sell a lot. Now, once you get your tree established, just talk about what fertilizer to use.
Yeah.
Just like on your shrubs and your trees, use the tree and shrub food.
Yeah.
On fruit trees, use the pecan, citrus, and fruit food.
Yeah, we got some right over there.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yep.
It's 19-10-5. The nice thing about it is that it has 3% zinc. Zinc is the mineral zinc keeps the, especially in pecans, it keeps them from having that rosette disease, meaning your leaves will come out and it's just kind of gnarly. You've seen it on roses before?
I have, yeah. Yep, yeah, yep.
It gets gnarly. Well, that zinc keeps that from happening. That one mineral is very important, especially in pecans. And I like the pecan fruit food. I have trouble saying it all. Because it is 19-10-5, I believe. And they've been selling that product. I have a lot of my people from Louisiana that come up here specially request that one food for all the fruit trees and the pecans.
Now, those of you who are listening and you're saying, you're maybe thinking, they keep spouting off numbers like 19.35 or 3.10.7. So those numbers are essentially how your levels, your percentage, how much nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium.
In that order.
Your three main things that most of your plants need and need different levels of. Mm-hmm. And so if you're wondering what those numbers are, that's just your NPK, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium levels in those fertilizers.
And the reason why I like those two fertilizers, the pecan and fruit food and also the tree and shrub food, is because you don't have to dig a hole in the ground and put your fertilizer in there. It translocates nicely through the soil. So as long as you're coming from the canopy, almost stay 2 or 3 feet away from the trunk of the tree. That is your root zone. And make sure that you spread it all throughout the landscape around that tree. And I like it because it translocates perfectly through the soil. And I've never had a problem.
Yeah, I like the slow release fertilizer. Now, if you remember, we planted some more fruit trees in the back.
Yes.
And I had, I know we talk about Royal Gold a lot. It's just a good company, okay? Mm-hmm. But I had used the Royal Gold grow on those. And what I did was when we dug the holes, I sprinkled some in the bottom of the hole. I probably went a little bit too generous.
Did you do a video on that?
I did, yeah. So, Jess, if you wouldn't mind posting that link up for us, so you can go to that video, you can check it out. The amount of growth we had, I've said it before, it was like cheating.
Yeah, it was astronomical.
It was crazy. So we planted those last year, mm-hmm. later last year, just the amount of growth that we've had, just crazy, mm-hmm. crazy, crazy, crazy. Yeah. So highly recommend that. It also has that higher calcium in it, which is great for your fruits. You're going to have better tasting fruit. You're not going to have flower fall. It's going to help with that. And you're not going to get blossom end rot in fruit.
Yeah.
And so
your calcium content is really important on not having disease.
Absolutely.
I've always said if you have a healthy plant, you will not have disease.
And that's part of the reason that we talk about fertilizers and plant foods so much, because mm-hmm. when you're on, just like a human being, when you're on the up and up and you're eating the right things, mm-hmm. you're less prone to getting sick, sluggardness, mm-hmm. you see what I'm saying? And you're on the up and up because you're eating things that are on the up and up. It's the same for those plants.
So to recap it, the two things I think are the most detrimental to a tree or a shrub or a plant is too much water, not enough air in the root system,
yeah.
and poor fertilization.
Yeah.
In my opinion, those are the two most detrimental things that people overlook.
Yeah, because you can cancel out a lot of the problems mm-hmm. that you can have if those two things are paid attention to.
Exactly.
For sure. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's why we wanted to touch on that. So now let's talk about after your tree is established and it's growing. Let's talk about pruning and thinning.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And you do your fruit trees a lot different than you would a ornamental shade tree.
Yes.
All right? If you have, and jump in any time, let's just talk about shade trees, first of all. Mm-hmm. On a shade tree, you want a central leader. So if you have two competing central leaders, pick one and cut it right there at the base of it to where that hormone, it's called geotropheism. The hormone will go to that one, the tallest central leader, and that will become your central leader.
Yeah.
If you have two competing, it'll be a weak tree. Any limb that you have coming out at a 45-degree angle is going to be a weak limb. So you want to make sure that you take those out, especially. A weak limb's like this. A strong one comes out at a 90-degree angle.
Now, this is on your shade trees?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the vascular, you're not cutting up, this will cut your vascular system. This will not.
Wow.
So thinning is when you take out whole limbs. Mm-hmm. You take out the competing central leader. You take out those weak limbs that are growing at a 45-degree angle. You want them coming out straight at a 90-degree.
Or branches that are crossing or growing parallel to each other. Eliminate the worser one.
Exactly.
That will help a lot for sure.
Yeah, and make sure that you do this anywhere from Christmas to early spring.
Yeah.
You have to do it before it starts leafing out, because then you have sap coming out, and it just creates all it's a, you don't want an open wound when the tree is growing.
Yeah, good rule of thumb if you're wearing overalls. That's a great time to get out and prune, trim, crown your trees.
Exactly. So that's thinning is when you take out whole limbs. Thinning on a fruit tree, the reason why you take out whole limbs there is because you want aeration in the fruit tree.
Definitely.
You won't be able to throw a cat through it.
You know what? I've told people that because I've heard you say it. Well, Mark Rockwell will say you want to be able to throw a cat through it.
Yeah.
And the looks that I get. Well, listen, you're a dirt farmer. It's what you say.
That's right.
But yeah, absolutely. You want air to be able to get through. You want sunlight to be able to get through. You're going to eliminate a lot of problems by doing that. Eliminate, especially on peach trees.
Yes.
For one, you don't want a central leader, okay? No. On good fruit trees, you really don't want a central leader. You want your tree to kind of V out, for one, for the aeration, the sunlight to get through. But also, the more practical reasoning is so you can go and pick a lot better. Right. It's going to be a lot easier.
You'll have a lot less disease if you, and we keep hitting these, you'll have a lot less disease if you thin it out and get it to where the air flows through there. That's very important. If you've ever gone to a orchard, those are the ugliest trees you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, but they produce the most fruit.
They'll have 8-inch limbs coming straight out, which with these little lateral limbs, and that's where all the fruit is.
Yeah.
So just go to an orchard, and they're the ugliest trees you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
But that's the way that they do it, and that's the right way of doing it. And like you said, if you do not thin it out and get control over it, you'll have to get a ladder to produce, to get your fruit.
Absolutely. And, you know, by eliminating also suckers coming up off of the bottom. A lot of times with most of your fruit trees, especially if they're not standard, they're going to be grafted onto a rootstock. And what that rootstock is going to do, obviously, is going to, it's more disease resistant, maybe drought tolerant. Those sorts of things is what they look for when they're finding their rootstock. But below that graft on that other rootstock, you're going to have oftentimes suckers that come up. Eliminate those. So keep those pruned off. And the reason being is because all that energy, sugar is going to go directly into them since they're the first branches on the bottom. Yeah. And you're going to get crazy dramatic growth out of those. Eliminate those guys. Mm. So that way you're getting all of that nutrients up to the top of the tree
and
again.
Typically, those suckers are a lot more aggressive. And you're right. They will take away a lot of the nutrient from the tree.
Definitely.
So that is thinning out, is taking out whole limbs. The other side of pruning your tree is called pruning. Pruning is when you take a little bit off of all the trees. It's like crowning.
Yeah.
That's where you get a tree that is more circular habit. It's taking a little bit off of each one. And what you do when you prune, you're increasing the girth of each and every one of those main stems.
Yes. Yeah,
that's why when you go to an orchard, they'll prune them back, prune them all the time. And that's why you have an 8-inch lateral line, because that limb right there has been pruned many, many times throughout the year.
And often where you cut one branch, you're probably going to get 2 to 3 branches out of that.
Yeah.
And then out of that, you can choose which ones are the better branches as well. You know, a great thing also is by paying attention to the way you're pruning. For instance, if you have a branch coming up and you can see you've got a little bud coming off of it here, you know that if you cut above that, that bud is going to shoot out that direction.
Exactly.
You can actually kind of predict the shape of your tree by paying attention to where your cut is.
Yeah. That's right. And make sure that you cut it at a 45-degree angle. You never want to cut across like this, because water will set in there and it'll create disease. Always cut it at an angle to where water runs off and you prevent disease.
I couldn't agree more with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's thinning and pruning on your tree. And then know what tree that you have, like a pear tree. Pear trees, you have to whack pretty hard, like every 5 years. We recommend that you cut it back 50% every 5 years. And the reason for that is a pear tree has a tendency to grow straight up.
Yeah.
If you whack it, you'll increase more of the lateral limbs. And when you get a windstorm, that tree will not fall over or it won't break. So on your pear trees, you need to whack them pretty seriously hard every year. and get more of the lateral limbs to where not only will it create a stronger tree, but you'll be able to harvest it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, with your pear trees, you're totally right on that, because the pear tree has some of the heaviest fruit.
Mm-hmm.
It's really dense, heavy fruit. And so by doing that, because
I've had to put a 2x4 under a limb before.
Because it was on the ground and the fruit was just sitting
and
in the dirt.
Yeah, it was going to
crack. Yeah, absolutely.
Same thing on peaches. I had to do the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you might get a good year, a big harvest, and if you haven't done proper thinning and pruning, you're going to be in trouble.
Now, you can also train on most of your fruit, well, pretty much all of your fruit trees, you can actually train, or there's also, what is it, espalier?
Yeah.
Yeah, espalier.
Yeah, we do it on a fence.
Yeah, you can kind of make your fruit tree into a wall, but you can train your branches, and so you can do that simply by staking and tying a branch down.
I tell you, one thing that we did at the University of Arkansas is that we, like on a pear tree, we would take bricks and we would train the limb to, instead of going straight up, to grow out. Mm-hmm. So we put a brick on it, to making that limb grow out more.
Some way.
And we would cut the end of it to where we had more lateral lines.
Oh, yeah.
Or lateral.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. That's just going to help you so much, though, with not having to get a 30-foot ladder just to pick some pears.
I know, but it looked like some sort of redneck was putting up ornaments.
Well, it's okay.
Yeah. We knew what we were
doing. It's functional, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of cool.
Matters.
So, that's thinning and pruning. And the way I wanted to wrap up the show is kind of talk about some of our favorite trees that we've gotten in this year.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'll start.
Go ahead.
The Starlight and the Scarlet. I've fallen in love with the the Chinese dogwood, the Kusa dogwood.
Yeah,
I have fallen in love with those. We have had better success with the Kusa dogwoods than the regular dogwoods for the past few years.
Absolutely,
and they're fabulous. The difference between a Kusa dogwood and your regular native dogwood is that your native dogwood will bloom and then it leaves out. Your Kusa dogwood, you'll get both at the same time.
Yeah.
It'll leaf out and bloom at the same time. And it's more lateral than, the limbs are more lateral than your normal dogwood. So I'm really, really happy this year that we're getting the Scarlet dogwoods, because even the chief dogwood, which is supposed to be the red dogwood.
Yeah.
It's just a deeper color pink.
Yeah.
I've never been happy with it. And in the Kusa dogwoods, you get more of a vibrant red.
Yeah, like the there's the Scarlet Fire.
Yes.
Kusa dogwood.
That is my number one favorite dogwood.
Now, another difference in the Kusa that I like, because I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to the bloom or the flower on things, is that the Kusa actually has a pointed petal. Mm-hmm. So rather than, you know, on your traditional native dogwoods, the petal goes up, kind of heart shapes mm-hmm. back in. But on your Kusa, it's a pointed one. And I think the flowers are just a little bit more interesting on those. Mm-hmm. But I do like the Kusa. One that I really like is the weeping peach tree. So this does not...
Oh, you
not...
showed me that weeping peach that you stole from the nursery.
Yeah.
I went on over to his house and...
steal it
oh, yeah,
from the nursery.
Yeah,
come
you did.
Come on.
Yeah, that was
come
a five-finger discount.
No, it sure wasn't.
So I know. It was a tree that would... story, it was a tree that was doing poorly here. I think it got damaged or something like that. Did it not?
No. Different tree.
Okay, go ahead.
This one actually was, it came in a 15 gallon. It was fairly small at the time. I did pay for it.
All right, fine.
Golly. I did get my employee discount.
Oh, yeah. I know.
So, but this one started out fairly small, but it has the most beautiful hot pink flowers.
I know. It was gorgeous.
In the spring. Now, this doesn't produce fruit.
Yeah.
Okay. But this weeping peach tree, it has beautiful foliage. It's kind of like a purple kind of foliage when it comes out. But before that, it is covered in cascading hot mm-hmm. pink. I mean, the only thing you see on the block.
Okay.
I mean, it's amazing.
So that tree in my dogwood, we consider those ornamental trees.
Definitely.
All right. And a side note is, Coosa dogwood will handle more sun than your native dogwoods, by the way.
That is very true.
Handle more sun.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's talk shade trees.
Okay.
My favorite one would have to be the black gum.
How do I know you're going to say that?
I just knew it. I love it. And what's the one tree that sings and dances for you?
Oh, yeah.
The root system goes all the way down to China. Its bark is smooth. Yeah. I mean, it's green. It's just smooth like a crepe myrtle. Mm-hmm. It's fast growing. Has small leaves to where they blow off into your neighbor's yard.
Yeah.
Okay? Millions of small leaves. It's a very dense tree. So you have millions of small leaves through the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And it has that scarlet red color in the fall.
The brightest color. Now, we'll have a little bit of orange and yellow, but it is so stinking bright.
Yeah.
Now, this is not to be confused with the sweet gum. We're not talking about that
totally
tree.
Totally different animals.
Yeah, exactly. Beautiful tree. If you're looking at it right now, it is just stunning in the fall. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as shade trees on my end, if you're going for a maple, now here in Northwest Arkansas, we're known for having four seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So the falls here are beautiful.
Yes.
Just driving through the good old Ozarks, going to drive. If you want to go on a great date, just drive through the Ozarks in the fall. Okay.
Yeah.
Fall.
Yeah. Cheap date.
But with maples, I would say my favorite one out of the maples has forever and always been October Glory.
Oh, yeah.
It has all the colors. Yeah, it sure does. But mostly that bright orange that it carries, and it carries for a good time. So beautiful tree. I mean, it's all in the name, October Glory.
It's our number one seller as far as the maples are concerned.
Absolutely. And it grows fast. It grows big. But it's also a harder wood maple. So it's not going to break easy in a storm. You're not going to have a whole bunch of problems with it. It's just such a beautiful tree.
All right. So that's our two favorite shade trees.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's talk about fruit trees.
Yeah, go ahead.
My favorite fruit tree would have to be the cherry trees in general, but it would have to be the Georgia peach. That has to be my favorite. The Georgia peach is the peach tree that only takes 500 chilling hours.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you do not get fruit if we get a late freeze. But that Georgia peach, I mean, it's almost softball size. It's a freestone. It's really fleshy. It's extremely sweet.
Yeah.
And to me, when you're talking fruit trees, and it's pretty in the spring. I do not understand why people don't plant a peach tree as an ornamental tree in their front yard.
Oh, you certainly can.
I know.
Yeah. Well, even back to the weeping peach tree.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just a beautiful tree altogether. I would say mine is probably the kefir pear. And the reason I like the kefir pear is it is a hybrid kind of pear,
mm-hmm.
not GMO, completely different. Hybrid happens naturally, okay? But it's a hybrid. It's a lot like a Bartlett, the flavor of a Bartlett.
I grew up with Bartlett. It's totally juicy.
It is an Ozark pear.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a fruit tree that's little to no maintenance, that has probably the lowest maintenance, kefir pear, mm-hmm. and you get so much fruit off of it, and it is self-fertile.
Yeah.
So if you only have room for one fruit tree in your yard, kefir pear. I don't see why not. It's beautiful in the spring with all the white blooms to the taste of the fruit, and the fruit has a really long shelf life. So,
yep. All right, there you go.
And blight resistant. Yeah. By the way, so yeah,
that's really important with pear trees.
Very is.
Yeah, so the kefir pear. So there you go. That's a wrap up of trees. We pretty much have gone from A to Z on trees.
Absolutely.
And like I said, you can always go to furloam.com and get that sheet on how to take care of your fruit tree.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of bulletins there that you can download. And so it's a very helpful resource at furloam.com.
Well, hey, next week we are going to be talking everything hydrangeas. And so we get a lot of people coming in with problems
I
with
might
their
well
hydrangeas.
Not come. You love
this is my it's my favorite subject. It's my favorite subject above all.
Yep, it is.
And so everything hydrangeas, when to prune, when not to prune, what different kinds of hydrangeas.
How to make them blue, how to make them pink.
Absolutely. So everything hydrangea. And so stay tuned tuned for that. That'll be showing next week. Hey, if you like this content, please be sure to comment or send us in messages. This fly,
I know.
There's a fly wandering around in here.
Some fly bait in here.
Definitely. We got
Alpine. Let's make a commercial out of this. Yeah. Alpine is a professional spray. It is a bait spray. We sell it. Uh-huh. All you do is you spray it around your windows and your doors, and it's a very good. I use it in the RV when we go camping.
Yeah.
And it's a great bait because they'll get, you know, they hover around the windows and the doors. You just spray around your doors, spray around your windows, and they get on there and boom.
Dead. Yeah. So I got in a lot of trouble by my wife by spraying this on, above the window, above the kitchen sink, because she had so many dead flies sitting in the sink.
We need to spray these microphones.
So next week is going to be a really good show. Hey, thank you so much for watching and listening to us. We really appreciate y'all. Again, comment, send us emails. We answer those questions on the show. We're really happy to help you, and it helps other gardeners. So, all right. Well, hey, thanks for listening
to us. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
All righty. Later.